I turn again to Lamentations chapter 3, please. Our motto text for the year are those well-known verses 22 and 23. And as you conclude 2023 and we come to the year 2024, it's good to think of the Lord's faithfulness to us over this past year, and we look forward to the Lord's faithfulness to us even the year that is before us. Let's seek the Lord, ask for his help even now as we come to his precious word. Father, we truly have to say, great is thy faithfulness. Lord, there's nothing to compare to thy faithfulness. There's nothing in this world. We can't even compare the love of a father or mother or our child or anyone else, Lord. Nothing compares to thee. And Lord, we thank you thou art a God who never changes. And because, Lord, thou hast blessed us in the past and has been faithful to us in the past and even over this year, Lord, we can look forward, Lord, with assurance that thou will indeed draw near to us in 2024. Thou will bless us, and thou will be with us, and thou will, Lord, sustain us in all things. We thank you thou art the great provider. Thou art Jehovah Jireh. And Lord, we have not lacked any good thing, and we never will. And Lord, there may be one in this meeting this morning, or someone watching online, who has struggled through 2023. And Lord, 2024 may be no different for them. But Lord, may they grasp onto these words this morning, that thou will be with them, and thou will be faithful unto them, and thou will encourage, and thou will give help. And Father, we look to thee in all things. We thank you for thy faithfulness, Lord, even in salvation. We thank you for thy faithfulness, Lord, even sending the Lord Jesus Christ to seek and to save those that are lost. And Lord, in thy faithfulness and that in that gospel promise that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, there is a faithful promise from the God who cannot lie. So Father, encourage us even this morning through thy word. Give help afresh to the preacher. Give help to the listener, Lord. And give us the spirit, Lord, within us to listen to thy word and apply it to our hearts and live it out, Lord, even as we would go out into the world tomorrow. So Father, bless us now. Draw near unto us. We ask us all in our Saviour's name and for his eternal glory. Amen. The American Marine Corps has an interesting motto. It's Semper Fidelis, and it's often shorter to Semper Fi. And Semper Fidelis are two Latin words which mean always faithful. It really is a code of conduct and character of the gallant soldiers of that corps. It is a description of their loyalty and the definition of their lives as Marines. It's supposed to be their driven purpose as an honourable and dedicated soldier to their country and to this branch of service, to be always faithful. Always faithful. Well, I believe that is the language of Scripture when we think about God. When one chronicles and catalogues the actions and attitudes of God from Holy Writ, you would have to say our God is a God of unfailing faithfulness. Always faithful. And I don't doubt we could gather many, many scriptures from God's word and many passages to look at the faithfulness of God. But as we come this morning to Lamentations chapter 3, this is like a biblical megaphone that shouts out of a loud voice that our God is faithful. Words of truth and words of testimony that each one of us here this morning can grab hold of and can apply to our lives, because we have looked and we have seen times in our life when God has been faithful. In fact, he's always faithful. We don't always see it, but he's always faithful. Lamentations is not really a popular book when it comes to studying or even preaching. Whether the pulpit or the pew, it's not one of those books that we often come to. It's on chartered territory often. And the word Lamentations perhaps provides for us, the reader, why that is, because it gives an insight to the book. To lament means to cry. You know what it is, to cry. It's something to do with grief and grieving. And when one was lamenting, we often have those expressions of agony verbally and emotionally. To lament, it really is, it grabs you emotionally. It's deep grief. It's not just a simple weeping, a tear, but it's deep grief and sorrow and lamenting. It speaks of expressing our fears and our pains. Here Jeremiah the prophet, who is grief-stricken and verbally expressing his emotional agony, laments over Jerusalem being destroyed by the Babylonians. He's lamenting over the rebellious sins of Israel and the people of God who have been carried away into captivity. Israel once again has been reduced to nothing and bondage in their plight because of their waywardness and their sinfulness. Time and time again, these people have rebelled and come back to God and rebelled and come back to God and up and down. And here again, we find them in captivity. The psalmist in Psalm 137 captures even the mindset in their captivity. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yeah, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And there they wasted us, required us of a mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And here's the people. The psalmist capulates their mindset even in the midst of this captivity. And here's Jeremiah as he writes these words in Lamentations. He writes, and the stench of death has assailed his nostrils, as it were. The city is in rubble, is in ruins. The holy place is now a holy pile of ash. Women are widows and children are orphans. Aged men are maimed and are left to die. The aged are, who are sickly are left to starve. The young men or maidens are herded off in chains to en route to Babylon, to captivity. The royal family have been made commoners. The king's eyes have been put out. The walls and gates have been burned, breached and broken. The treasury in Israel has been plundered and now in the hands of ungodly men. The holy vessels of the temple have been confiscated and would be used in unholy acts of worship. The city is left in desolation. Here Jeremiah laments over this scene, as it were. The book of Lamentations is only 5 chapters. In the midst, we have chapter 3. And right in the middle of this chapter 3, nearly in the right in the middle, we have these words in 22 and 23. As Jeremiah pens words of God's faithfulness. Even in the midst of this scene we've described that he's lived before, and before his very eyes, in the midst of that darkness and despair and discouragement, Jeremiah finds hope. He's able to find hope and some light and some joy in the middle of his lament. He has experienced darkness, but in the middle he sees some light. He has experienced pain, but in the middle he glimpses providence. He has seen destruction, but in the middle he sees divine destiny. As believers, we find it so true about God, don't we? In the middle of our stories, in the middle of our miseries, in the middle of our daily living, in the middle of life's agonies, we see his hand holding us. We see his love encompassing us. We see his power revealed to us in the middle of our chaos and woes and troubles and trials. God's unfailing faithfulness means that everything he says and does is certain. And that one can be certain that he will always be 100% God and 100% faithful. Because if he's not, he's no longer God. Jeremiah here discovers in verse 22 that his faithfulness is never partial, but he has an unfailing fullness of faithfulness. He does not just speak about God's mercy, he speaks about the fullness of his faithfulness. And Jeremiah proclaims not mercy, but mercies, plural. God's mercies are divinely plural in his nature. The psalmist spoke about the divine pluralness of God's mercies in Psalm 51. Verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. David, in many passages in the psalm, speaks of God's mercies in the plural sense. He sees him as a refuge, as a rock, as his light, as his strength, as his shepherd, as his fortress, as his hiding place. He's not a God who's limited in his singleness to his sovereignty, but divine pluralness in his delight. His mercies are not just divinely plural, but they're divinely plenteous. You think of the words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 3 and 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Exceedingly is enough. But Paul goes and speaks about the divine plentiness when he says exceedingly abundantly and above. In other words, God's mercies are inexhaustible, inexhaustible. God's mercies of 2023 are available for this coming year of 2024. In fact, God says they're new every morning. They're new every morning. No matter how bad yesterday was, friend. No matter how bad it was, God's love and God's mercy is renewed to you every new morning. There will be many troubles and trials this year for some in this congregation. You will have your troubles, your trials, your sicknesses, your illnesses, your griefs and sorrows that will come this year. They will not end. But has God forsaken us? No. No, he hasn't. In fact, God uses those sufferings to conform us to the image of Christ. What are we going to see in this passage today? That no matter what 2024 brings us, from the most glorious blessings which we will receive, to the deepest sorrows which will also come, God's mercies are all we need. His mercies are new for this new year. So let's look at our motto text together this morning as we think upon great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Notice firstly the position we enjoy. The position we enjoy. You see, sometimes life can be so discouraging. We forget who we are in Christ. You see, our position in Christ never changes. Despite what happens, despite how bad 2024 may be for you as a child of God, your position in Christ will not change. If all friends forsake you, if you lose all your money, lose your health, lose all belonging to you, your position in Christ won't change. Just like Job. Your position will not change. Remember the words of Christ in John 10 and 28. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which giveth them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You see, whatever life brings you this year, this incoming year, will expose who you really are. You know what it is? One of the mercies of God is when troubles come, is that what's inside usually comes out of us. Troubles and trials reveal what is in us normally. And here in the first 20 verses of this writing, this passage, it describes the intensity of the prophet's pain. What's inside him, out of him, comes out here. His grief is so great that he's physically ill and has physical pain. He says, my flesh and my skin have he made old. He have broken my bones. Verse 4. Now his flesh was not falling off, nor was his bones literally broken. But he's using imagery to describe the physical anguish or pain he's facing. Excuse me. Furthermore, Jeremiah here is swallowed up in bitterness in verse 5. You read that there. He's bitter. He've builded against me and compassed me of gall and travail. He feels walled in and chained in and blocked off in verses 7 to 8. Read of how God has shot arrows through his body, crushing his emotions in verses 10 to 13. His pain is so great that even in verse 17, notice it. He writes here, and thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. The word prosperity can be translated happiness. He says here, I forgot what it is to be happy. All this has happened. All this has happened to me and happened in the land, as it were. I've forgotten what it's like to be happy. I wonder, have you been there, friend? Have you been there in 2023? Have you felt like that? Have you forgotten what it is to be happy? Is that the kind of you you've had, as it were? You felt forsaken by God. All this has come upon you. It's come to a stage where you say, thou hast removed my soul off from peace. I've forgotten what it is to be happy. My life has been just so miserable. all this has come and it's just been misery for me. It hasn't been a happy year for me. The most painful statement in this section is verse 18. And he said, "My strength and my hope has perished from the Lord." Have you felt like that? Oh, friend, I think if each one of us were honest of ourselves, there have been times in our life when we have felt like that. We mightn't want to admit it, but deep down inward, there's grief and sorrow and misery and discouragement, and we just feel, what's happened here, Lord? Why is this coming to my life? Why have you feel forsaken? There's no happiness, a dark cloud surrounding you. But in such circumstances, I want you to see what Jeremiah says, because we see here how Jeremiah turns to God in one of the most encouraging passages of Scripture in the Bible. He's going through a great trial that he did not bring upon himself, remember. It was the nation. The nation brought this upon him, brought them upon themselves, but he feels it. He feels part of this. He feels in the middle of this, but he doesn't stay there. He says no matter what he sees or feels, he turns his hope and trust to God. Look at verses 21 and 22. He said, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." Look at that. "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." Now he thinks upon the Lord. What do you do in time of trouble? We've been studying revival in the times of Hezekiah at the midweek meetings over the last 6-7 weeks. We've been looking at different kings. We looked at Ahaz, Hezekiah's father. What happened when he faced military annihilation? We read it in 2 Chronicles 28 and 22. "And in the time of his distress, that's King Ahaz, did he trespass yet more against the Lord." His trouble, he went hard against the Lord. Yet in 2 Chronicles 33, verse 12, read a different response from King Manasseh. "And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him." Notice those two responses. One went against the Lord, one ran to the Lord. For Ahaz, hardship became an occasion for greater ungodliness. He turned from God, but Manasseh faced a similar situation, but he humbled himself and ran to God. See, that's what we ought to do, friend, in our troubles and in our difficulties. You see, difficulties don't doom us. They invite us to come to our God and remember who we are. Who are we? If we are a believer this morning, we are a child of the King. A child of the King. No matter your circumstances, you don't have to be on the mountaintop. You don't have to be a millionaire. You don't have to have great health to be a child of the King. You're a child of the King no matter where you are today, if you're saved and born again by the Spirit of God. And think of the words of John Newton. He said, "Though I'm not what I ought to be, and I'm not what I wish to be, and I am not what I one day will be, I can truly say I am not what I once was. And I can heartily join with the Apostle and acknowledge by the grace of God I am what I am." We are children of God. And Jeremiah says, in spite of the trial or anything life brings, "I know I'm a child of God's mercy. I know who I am. His faithfulness is great. His mercies never cease." Don't let the devil tell you who you are. And in discouragements and when trials come, he often does. Comes along and whispers in your ear, says, "God doesn't care about you. If God cared about you, would he let you go through what you're going through? He doesn't care about you." Oh, he might care about someone else. He might care about the preacher or someone else, but he doesn't care about you. And that's what the devil seeks to bring into our mind. He seeks to rob the Christian of their joy because he can never take their soul. But remember, friend, who you are. You're a child of the King. And it'd be like Jeremiah. He says, "Though I have forgotten at times what happiness is, I haven't forgotten who God is. And I haven't forgotten who I am because of my merciful God. I am a child of the King. I am a child of God." Whatever life brings you this 2024, let it enhance your focus on Christ, friend. Jeremiah places his focus on God, and that's his secret to hope here. He doesn't let his heart lead him, but he lets the word of God lead him. And never let your heart lead you, because you know what our emotions are like. We're up and down. Let God's word lead you. When you're in despair, come to his word, and there'll be a promise, there'll be a word for your soul to lift you, to lift your gaze to Christ. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies. He's brought back to his God. When times of trial can certainly tempt us to turn away, and we can come to that place of discouragement, but the Lord comes and he invites us to come near to him, so we can be, and those times in trials and troubles can be the sweetest times of fellowship with the Lord. In that deep sorrow and that deep grief, when the Lord comes and ministers to our soul, those can be precious times. Perhaps you've noticed that in your life. In trials and troubles, and when the difficulty gets tough, you find yourself crying out to the Lord, and you find yourself in sweet communion with him. That if things are going well, we have to be honest as Christians at times, when life is going well, we tend to often coast, don't we? Take it easy, we just coast along. Everything's hunky-dory, as it were. Everything's going well in life, and we just simply coast along. We take our eyes off the Lord. But when trouble hits, well, we often come back to the Lord, don't we? And the Lord uses these things to change us, to mold us. And each day, friend, we ought to come to him for help, for faith, for comfort, and strength. Well, how do we do that? Well, we spend each day in his word, aren't we? What's the psalmist say? Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. We don't trust our lying hearts. We come to God's word. The psalmist says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. But how can trouble work for any good, we might say? Well, it's wrapped up in this promise of Lamentations 3:22. It is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. The steadfast love of God is upon you because of Christ Jesus. And this is the Hebrew word hesed. It's God's covenant to never give up on his people. It's God's covenant. God cannot break his covenant. He is for you. Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, or since God be for us, or because God is for us, who can be against us? In other words, nobody. Paul goes on to say, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. No matter what, because you are in Christ, God is for you. Christ made it all possible on the cross. He gave his life to redeem a bride, or redeem a people for himself. He's for us. The psalmist says, Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him by his hand. He's got you, friend. He's got you, believer. He's got you. Are you holding on to him? Like Jeremiah, in spite of the trouble you face in life, are you holding on to him and his promises? Romans 8:28, we know the verse so well, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. What is that purpose? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Position we have this morning. But notice, secondly, the power we entrust. You see, every joy or every trial comes from above. It all comes from God. When we feel weak, God is there for us, ready to give us fresh empowerment. Aren't you glad that his mercies are new every morning? They never come to an end. They're there every morning. They're faithful. In Christ, the steadfast love of God for you will never cease, never. His mercies will never come to an end, never. They will be new every morning, and he will be faithful to bring them to you every morning. If God is your greatest treasure, friend, if God is the thing you love most, your portion, then you can hope on him of these unbreakable and almost unbelievable promises. When we think of them in reality of who we are as hell-deserving sinners, we have to say these are unbelievable promises, that God would give us such a promise, those who are so undeserving of it. Let me say, yesterday's power is not sufficient for today. It's not sufficient for today. Just like the Lord's mercies are new every morning, we need power every day. We don't find this power in ourselves. It's not like we come along and psych ourselves up for another day. We can't do it with human power. Where then do we get this power? Where do we receive this strength that we need for every new day? We read of it in Isaiah 40 and 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They're new every morning. Paul tells us that God's new mercies often come when we feel the weakest and most crushed. Turn over there to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 for a moment, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And read these words, 2 Corinthians 12 and the verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Every time trouble comes, friend, every time the trouble comes for the Christian, we can surely shout, great is thy faithfulness. His mercies never end. His faithfulness is great. Each trial equips us in knowing God more and more, growing to him, receiving his power day by day. And when we do suffer, when we do, we're able to testify that God is faithful. I'm sure there's people in this meeting, if I ask for a show of hands, that I would receive many. People who could stand up here and testify and say, God was faithful to me in my trial. God brought me through that trouble that I could never face on my own. He brought me through it. He helped me. He strengthened me. And in doing that, the Lord has enabled you and empowered you to help others, because we read in 2 Corinthians 1 and 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who have comforted us in our tribulation, that we, that's those who have been comforted, may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And as believers, we are to comfort others. Those who have been through trouble and now are experiencing blessing, we should be coming along those who are presently in trouble and trial and be there for them. It's one thing to know theology, but trials insist that we know God personally and understand him and learn from these things that we can testify. His word is true. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And you can come along aside someone else in 2024 that you see struggling and say, listen, I've been there. I know what you're going through. The Lord is faithful to me. The Lord will be faithful to you. He will not forsake you. He didn't forsake me. Trials and troubles equip us. They equip us to help others, to come alongside others, to encourage them, to lift them up when they're fallen. And so often in the Christian life, someone said it, and the Christian army is the only army that shoots its wounded. And how often we do that as believers, rather than that help someone who's fallen. They may have fallen into sin, they may have done something that is contrary to God's word, and rather than pray for them and help them, we're too quick to criticize, aren't we? The Lord is told us we are to comfort and strengthen and help others. You may have a wayward child, someone who has no interest in the things of God, brought up in the gospel, now far from God. Others have experienced the same thing. They have seen the prodigal come home. They can come alongside you and say, I've been there. God answered our prayer. We believe God will answer your prayer. Keep on persevering. Keep on going. There may be someone who's gone through an illness, has recovered. Again, you can come alongside and strengthen and encourage. Trials equip us for ministry. God empowers us day by day, the power that we receive. But thirdly and finally, I want you to see the passion we are to exhibit. The passion we are to exhibit. Whatever life brings will elevate your longing for Christ. It should do. You see, living in a fallen world often leads us to despair. And the world outside tells us you need this, this and the other to be successful. You need this, this and this to have a happy life. As we look at the world around us, it's so easy to despair and see what's going on all around us. And for young people especially, you can look at the world and you can see what the world qualifies as success. And you might think you need that. But the truth is you are complete in Christ. We have all we need in Christ. What does it say here in verse 24? The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. In Christ you have all you need. Remember the shepherd's psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, I have need of nothing when I have Christ. He is my passion. Ephesians 1 and 3, we have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And the Lord is not just a portion, generally speaking, but Jeremiah recognizes the Lord is his portion personally. I wonder, can you say that as we come to the end of 2023? Can everyone in this meeting this morning say the Lord is my portion? Do you know him as Lord and Savior? Is he your friend? Is he the one that you're relying upon for eternity? You see, on the other side of the cross, we know better than anyone else in history that the gospel purchased this portion for us that Jeremiah speaks of. And we have the assurance of full joy in the presence of God in eternity. This is ours. It's ours because we are in Christ. What did Paul say in Philippians 3 and 8? Yet doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung, that I may win Christ. A passion for Christ. In spite of the trouble, in spite of the trials, Paul says, I have a passion for him. He's everything to me. Everything else is dung, everything else is garbage, everything else is rubbish in life, and compared to knowing Christ, that's all I care about. That's all I care about. Not about the earthly successes, not about the letdowns. It's all about Christ. And dear saint, your friends may let you down. Your family will let you down. Even the best Christians may stumble and fall and let you down. But God is a perfect reputation. There's no blots in his character of faithfulness. He is semper fidelis, always faithful. His steadfast love never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Truly we can say, great is thy faithfulness. We have infinite new mercies for an incredible new year. Whatever happens this year for you, know that God has promised in his mercy to use all things in life to conform you to the image of Christ. What will happen in 2024 for each one of us? I don't know. None of us know, but I do know this, that God's mercies will never cease. His unrelenting love for you will never come to an end. His mercies are new every morning. His faithfulness is not stale. He has an unfailing freshness of faithfulness. God has no stale leftovers for his children. No moldy bread to throw us. We have the finest of the wheat. We have new mercies every morning, fresh. Just like the children of Israel every morning went out and got that fresh manna. We have fresh mercies every morning, fresh blessings, fresh possibilities, fresh opportunities each day. That is why each day ought to be a day of thanksgiving. God has been good to us. Before I finish, just let me give you three practical ways you can experience God's great faithfulness in your life in 2024. Firstly, when you struggle, because you will struggle. All of us experience that hard time in your life. Some of you may be struggling with sickness today, financial pressures, grief, etc. We have people who are struggling, we know that. But friends, do what Jeremiah did. Do what Jeremiah did when your mind is flooded with difficulties. Choose to focus on God's love and God's mercy and God's faithfulness. He does not promise to prevent your problems, but rather, he promises to go through them with you. Call to mind what you know to be true. God is faithful. He'll always be there for you. Secondly, when you're tempted, and again, you will be. You will be tempted. Some of you, again, are facing great, incredible temptations on a daily basis. Did you know that, again, God is faithful? He will give you a way to overcome those temptations. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, there it is again, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will within temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. God is faithful. What tempts you, friend? What is your fatal flaw? What is your besetting sin? Because we all have them. We all fall foul to them. The Lord has made a way where we can overcome them. He gives us a way we don't have to fall into them, that we can look to him. He's faithful. He gives us a way to say no to those sins, to overcome them. And finally, when you mess up, because you will, and I will, we all do, would you be ashamed for others in this meeting to know what you've said, done, and thought in the last 7 days, far less the last year? I would. I know I would personally. I'm sure you would too. We all mess up. We all do things that are wrong. We all fall into sin. And yet, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful. Friends, our God is faithful. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, he wrote this in his journal. He says, our Heavenly Father is a very experienced one. He knows very well that his children wake up with a good appetite every morning. He sustained 3 million Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. We do not expect he will send 3 million missionaries to China, but if he did, he would have ample means to sustain them all. Depend on it. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. Our God is faithful. Friends, we may often faint and be weary, but our Heavenly Father is all-powerful. Our feelings may fluctuate, but he is unchanging. Even creation itself is a record of his steadfastness. We sang the hymn together. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join of all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. What an encouragement to live for him in 2024. Our strength for the present and hope for the future are not based on the stability of our own perseverance, but on the fidelity of God, one who is unchanging, one whose word you can take to the bank and depend upon it. No matter what your need, we can count on God's faithfulness, for who abandons themselves to him, he will not abandon. With 2024, be another year of each one of us continuing to experience the never-ending faithfulness of our God. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. What a God we serve. Pray that he'd encourage you and bless you throughout the year of 2024. That you will experience his faithfulness. You will live by his faithfulness. You'll live according to his word. You'll depend upon his promises, upon the God who cannot lie. Lord, bless each and every one of us and bless his word even to our hearts this morning for his name's sake. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you thou art a great God. Oh Lord, thou art a faithful God. We have experienced thy faithfulness time and time again. We could say with the hymn writer, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And Lord, we could say that about thy faithfulness to us. Lord, you've never let us down time and time again. Even when we're unexpecting of it, when we're undeserving of it, Lord, you came alongside us. You upheld us by thy almighty hand. You provided our every need. Lord, through that difficult trial, through that illness, through that time of grief and sorrow, Lord, you were our strength and our comfort. And Lord, just as you've been with us in 2023, and we have the assurance you'll be with us in 2024. Bless this congregation of people. Bless them personally. Bless their families. Bless those, Lord, even presently who need thee to draw near them, Lord, and encourage them. Lift them up, Lord, by thy hand. Help them to gaze upon Christ. We thank you for our lovely Saviour. We thank you for the one who loved us and gave himself for us. The one who is the author and finisher of our faith. Help us look to him and see him. May he be our passion in all this year. Bless us now, Father. We think of the meeting this evening. Pray for thy presence with us. Pray for thy people to come back and others to join with us. And bless our time together. But now part us with thy fear and with thy favour. Keep thy hand upon us for good. We pray and ask it all in our Saviour's precious and worthy name. Amen.